Hello, everyone. This is Will.
This is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly. Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, you know, whatever you celebrate. Yeah. We hope and you had a good holiday.
Upcoming Happy New Year.
It's been a minute since we've been on. We've been doing a lot of shit.
Busy month.
It's busy. It's hard to get on in the recording booth from time to time. But we made it.
And it's boy, a request. A request that was done a long time ago.
We're giving someone a Christmas
present. One of you.
One of you lucky commenters.
Recommended this thing.
Yeah. So, I have a few questions. Like, what the fuck? Why would you... I mean, I get why you'd recommend it. I really do. And I appreciate the recommendation. But why would you subject us to this? I understand why what you thought it would be good on the podcast. But my God. So, a while ago, I can't remember what video it was on.
A long time ago.
We got a suggestion. I think it was in 1974. We got a suggestion for a movie.
No, it was a later, but I know it was like, I think it was back in the summer.
Yeah, so we got a recommendation for watching a movie, and we didn't get back to it. And, you know, sometimes YouTube comments come around not too often, so I'm pretty terrible.
I mean, it was my thing. We finished a year, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and see, like, did we get any recommendations?
Yeah.
Or any, like, other, like, for past years, and we did, and I was like, let's do it. Let's do it before we get on to a new year.
Let's do a recommendation, and there might be more of these, depending on if you
have recommendations, like, we'll get to them.
We will get to them. I also want to maybe even get to a point where you can send us,
If you have some garbage to send us, please do. Tell us.
Tell us if you want to send us stuff, and we'll set up like a PO up box or something.
Yeah.
Where you can just ship us just shitty movies.
Just garbage.
Like, it doesn't matter. We'll do like new ones. We'll just do them as a special feature thing.
I'll keep them. Thank you.
So thank you in advance if you do send us any movies. We will be trying, if you guys do, if enough people want it, we'll set up a PO box where we can just have you guys send us a bunch of shit. And we'll watch it.
We'll get around to it.
But that's if we get enough people commenting. Now, we'll probably bring this up if we ever get even more popular. But, you know, for right now, we have a small community. But, it's fine. Yeah, our recommendation this time was Beyond the Door. Now, this is from 1974. And, boy, the stench on this one is real evident. This is a blatant ripoff.
Of The Exorcist?
Of The Exorcist, and it has elements of Rosemary's Baby. But I think Rosemary's Baby was later, wasn't it?
No. Rosemary's Baby was 68.
You're
was
right, before The Exorcist. That's right. So, this was made in 74, so obviously they're riffing on two movies.
Two, like, big movies.
Now, what we didn't know is the movie would also riff on us. We'll elaborate more when we get to the end of our...
We'll get to that.
...of our review.
I just want to say thank you, though, whoever you were, for the recommendation.
No, thank you for the recommendation, because I'm glad we watched this. I really am.
I'm glad I watched this.
There's a lot of shit.
I don't know if my mental health is glad that we watched this.
Yes.
Or my liver, but thank you. It was a ride.
It was a ride. So I guess we should just get into it. One of the main features of this movie. It's a feature because it said it on the fucking meme poster. Narrated by the devil.
Yes.
Now
it starts with the devil introducing himself.
This doesn't sound like your typical devil. It just sounds like a regular dude.
Like a narrator.
Yeah. But, like, he's, like, there's a bunch of candles, and he's saying about how, like, you don't know, like, demons can be everywhere, and, like, they're hiding in, like, plain sight, basically.
And I used to be, like, featured in art and all this stuff, and, like, oh, if you look at the person next to you in the seat, they might be like a demon.
You heard it here, folks. Me and or Alex is a demon.
I mean, we're definitely a demon.
One of us definitely is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to point fingers because you guys can't see me pointing fingers. But I think it's Alex.
I mean, listen, I think whoever recommended this movie, I won't get into it.
So, then we get a guy driving on a highway. And it's like the devil. So it's funny because the devil, I'll leave you to the narrative, blah, blah, blah. But then, and then like literally the next scene, he's narrating again.
He's narrating again over, well, he's talking to a man named Dimitri.
Yep. So Dimitri's driving a car and he's like, hey, Dimitri, like you want more time. You've died.
How much? 10 years, like all this stuff.
All this stuff. And so then he like,
He doesn't say he's died, but he does say, like, time is running out.
Yeah. So Dimitri, like, veers off and, like, can't, like, control his gas and brake pedal for some reason. He's like, I think they're trying to imply his foot was caught in between his brake and his gas pedal. I don't know what they were trying to go for.
Well, who the fuck knows? All that happens is he sticks his foot in between the two pedals and his car just yeets off of a fucking cliff.
It starts veering off a cliff, but then it, like, freeze frames. As it's falling.
And he's like, you have to do something.
You need more time. You have to do something for me.
There is a woman, and she will have a child, and you know her. Make sure this child is born. And then, funk.
Then we get funk. God, I love this song.
We have...
This is like one of the only good
actual
things. Actually good things like, to come out of this
unironic.
Movie.
Good things.
I actually like this song.
It's called...
It's called Bargain with the Devil.
And it's just this funk song that plays while we have this woman driving.
Well, it's kind of funny, because after watching the movie, now it makes more sense.
Yeah, but, like, why?
You know why.
Meta. Yes. Because they wanted the song
they
in
know,
the movie.
Because it's funky, it's groovy, it has the same subject matter as the fucking movie.
It's literally the movie.
It is. They just explain the movie in a fucking song. You know what? I would have been fine if it was just the song.
And then the movie ended? The
movie ended. Yep. There you go. But no. So, anyway, we get jamming, and, like, we see a guy, like, kind of going along with it. He's, like, a producer. We see two guys in, like, an audio booth. And then we see a woman driving with her two kids.
One is reading a book. It's Love Story.
Yep.
And there's, like, a 50 copies of it, and then there's a kid.
She has, like, a stack of, like, 20 love stories.
It's the same book.
They all are the same book.
And then there's a kid drinking Campbell's soup with a straw.
Green pea soup, and he drinks it throughout the entire movie, so we're just going to get this out of the way.
And they're driving, jamming, and then the guy's like, hey, this is bad. You have no energy, blah, blah, blah.
It's like,
I've had
you
better...
got time. Like, you got to fill in those spaces. You got to, like, you know...
Do good. And then the song starts again. The woman goes to a grocery store.
And she's shopping to the beat of the song now.
And then it, like, she leaves the store and the guy's like, this is bad. You play like you're playing with your little tool in the bathroom. And the guy's like, when I play with my tool, I don't have to hit 20 solos.
Or, like, I don't have to hit 20 beats on my solo when I'm on.
And then the guy's like, he's leaving the office or the recording studio. He goes to the car with the woman, and he's like, I think we've got a hit on our hands.
Yeah, he's being a total dick to him, and then he's all of a sudden he's like, yeah, no, it's going to be a great hit. It's going to be really good.
And then he struggles opening the door. Remember?
It's a convertible car.
And he struggles opening it.
And the hood is down, and he struggles opening the car when he could just easily reach down and pull up the lock.
And then they're driving, and then we get the kids talking, and oh my god.
So, okay, so this is hilarious because everything, and I mean everything in this movie is dubbed. There is no natural sound in this movie.
Okay, here's the thing, though. The dubbing, fine. It's bad, whatever. But the kids...
Okay, dude...
Especially the girl.
You know I'm a huge fan of Godzilla. I've seen better, and those have terrible dubbing.
It's better than this.
Those are better. Pick any Godzilla movie has better dubbing than this movie.
But boy, once you get to the children and the girl,
so the girl
swearing like a sailor,
she's like giving shit to her brother and like just like acting like she's this like adult woman, and just I don't even know. Like, I don't know how to explain it. She acts like a stuck up, like mean 27-year-old.
It's like they wrote her as a 27-year-old, but when they were doing the movie, they cast a 10-year-old.
Like almost like a unruly. Probably
and
like
they didn't change the script.
Or like an unruly 18-year-old. I could see that too. But like, she even sounds like an adult. She doesn't sound like a little girl.
No.
Like, she doesn't sound like a kid. The dubbing, like, whoever dubbed her voice is literally an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they do that, and she gives her brother shit for, like, I guess he has a party or something, and he's, I don't know. It doesn't matter what the dialogue was, it's stupid.
Because they get home. The husband starts talking about the reproductive qualities of fish.
So, yeah, that is one important thing, because I guess they bring it up quite a bit. The husband is in the car saying he had, like, a hobby, and that hobby is fish. He loves
fish.
He loves taking care of his aquarium,
and reproductive things.
Yes, and so he's like, it could be worse. I could be, like, into drugs and stuff, but I love my aquarium, and, like, it's just, like, all this stupid shit. So yeah, the wife is like setting up all these flowers, and she's like, "Oh, are you gonna be ready for the party?" And then he just starts talking about reproductive things of fish.
Fitting.
Yes.
Because is this the scene when she tells him that? Yeah, it's right after this that she's like talking to him. She's like, "Hey, I have to tell you something. I went to the doctor, and like the tests confirmed another one's on the way."
She's like, "I'm talking about reproduction and all this stuff," and then. Like, the kids are making a cake, and the girl, like, starts doing stuff, and the little...
She's yelling at the kids. She's like, "Stuff it!" Well, he's like, "You stuff it!"
Because the boy knocks over pans, and they're like, "How are we gonna bake it now?" And the girl's like, "Stuff it! Whatever your name is." I can't remember the little boy's name, but... "Stuff it! You stuff it!"
And then she's like... And then, like, she's doing the ingredients, so she's like, "A dash of worms. A ground heart."
And then she's like pulverized bat legs. Like, just...
Nonsense.
Just nonsense. It doesn't matter.
So we get the party with the kids for some reason.
The kids are all playing, and the mom is in the bathroom puking up blood.
And the husband's like, "It's fine."
The husband doesn't even fucking care. His wife is literally puking up blood. And he's like, "It's gonna be okay. It's probably just the pregnancy.
Are you stressed? Like, it's fine." And then next scene is... then
she goes to visit the doctor.
And the doctor's like, "Hey, surprise. You're 3 months pregnant." She's like, that's impossible. It's been like a week at most. He's like, "No, it's 3 months."
Yeah.
It's fine.
And even he's kind of like, "I don't know how this is happening."
But it's happening. And it's fine.
Well, because he just literally diagnosed her a week ago.
Just now. Yeah.
So, anyway, now the husband and the wife are having lunch. A Bayside lunch. And they're...
she tells them this.
They're talking about how, like... She tells him that there's no way she can be, like, 3 months pregnant.
And she... all. Oh, she has a bad feeling about this.
And instead of, like, being concerned about his wife, he's just like, "Well, I don't know what we're gonna name the baby." And then the wife just ignores everything.
She's like, "Well, we can name it like Todd or Dan, and if it's a girl, we can name it Judy. But if it's a boy," she names off like 20 different fucking names.
They clearly want this baby to be a boy.
Yeah, and they just keep talking, and eventually
all they do is talk about what they're gonna name the baby. After all this shit happened,
it's like
this unexplainable shit. They're not even concerned about it anymore. They're just concerned about what to name.
Well,
because
she's like, "What you name a baby determines like what they're gonna be."
So after that scene, we see her sitting down and looking through photos for some reason.
Oh, and she sees a fucking
like a photo of like some she you don't see it at first.
I forgot to mention before this, after she threw up and the husband left the bathroom, she saw Dimitri from the beginning of the movie in the mirror.
Oh yeah, that's important.
And in this scene, she sees him in the photo.
Yeah, so she picks up the photo again, and you see Dimitri, and then she, like, has this weird possession scene, and, like, it, like, zooms in on an ashtray, and then it zooms in on the, like, the
aquarium.
Fish tank, and then you just see the ashtray flying towards the aquarium.
And it breaks it, and, like, all the water spills and everything, and then she, next scene, she's calling the husband and is like, "Yeah, like, I don't know, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened."
Oh, wait, one sec. Now, before we cut to that phone call, you see the doll for some reason. There's a doll.
Oh, in the aquarium.
In the aquarium. For no reason.
That's this whole movie.
So.
For some reason.
Yep. And so now she's calling.
And she's like, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I know you're upset. I know it's a big deal. But I wanted to break it.
I wanted to break him.
I wanted to break it. It repeats it 3 times. End scene.
End scene. So now they're just sleeping. it jumps just to all the family sleeping.
And then this is my favorite. Absolute favorite.
We get
sex groaning.
We get devil sex groaning.
It's just like chains and then
and then so the woman starts riling him bad, and she looks and opens her eyes, but she's clearly not conscious.
And then she gets up and floats.
So the kid is there, and he sees her floating. And it's just like, you know what? That's normal. And doesn't bring up anything about it.
And then next scene is the husband is on a chair looking at footprints.
Now this... Okay. So...
What?
This scene... it just jumps to him sitting on a chair. It doesn't explain that she, left the house. It doesn't explain where she went when she floated away.
You have to guess.
You just have to piece it together. And, it kind of tries to explain it, but it doesn't really. Because of the mud prints on the floor, I don't know.
Well, because he's looking at the footprints on the floor, even though we saw her float away. There's somehow footprints. And then she walks in, and she's kind of wet. And he's like, where have you been? Why'd you leave? All this, blah.
So next scene is the husband talking to the doctor, and they're getting lunch. And he's bringing up how, she was soaking wet and there was mud all over the floor, but the only way she could do that is if she was in a downpour. And don't worry about this at all, because it never gets explained.
Well, what happens is he sees Dimitri.
Yeah, he keeps seeing Dimitri
in the window,
and the doctor and him keep talking, and the doctor is saying that the woman is under a lot of emotional stress. There's a lot of stuff going on, and this could be
affecting her head.
Yeah, her head, and so they need to keep watch on her just in case the pregnancy goes wrong.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying, he's trying to explain why all this stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, well, I want to get to the bottom of this, but I don't want either of us to talk about it, because it might overstress her. So I'm going to send my wife in to talk about it to the woman, the pregnant woman.
Yeah, because he's like, we need someone she can trust.
Someone where she won't know why she... Basically, so she won't catch on to the fact that it's the doctor and the husband being concerned about the pregnancy.
Then we get her with the doctor's wife. They're just talking about how she's stressed. And then she mentions that she keeps seeing visions of Dimitri.
And then she
doesn't sell us yet who he is, but she's like... Who is he? He's like, oh, he's someone I knew. And that's it.
Yep. Well, and doesn't she... Is this the one where she says, have you ever met a man that's, he was alluring, but, no, it's not... Is it the explanation of Dimitri while he's walking?
It's way later when he's fucking walking.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, you're right. Never mind. So we don't get an explanation on Dimitri.
That scene!
We don't get an explanation on Dimitri yet.
No, it's just vague posting.
So, okay. So now... For no reason. A towel starts...
In their bathroom, lights on fire.
Just spontaneously combusts. And then the kid wakes up. I guess he dreamed it.
He starts freaking out, and his sister just tells him basically to shut the fuck up. And is just talking again like an adult. Just chill out, bro. Calm down, man.
Man,
it's fine, man.
You're really sketching me out, man.
You're gonna get these bad vibes, bro. And then the dad walks in, he's like, why didn't you tell me? He was freaking out. Why did you do this to me?
And she's like, bitch, don't kill my vibe.
Yeah, just calm down, old man.
So,
Oh my god.
And then
The
mom walks in, and I guess the daughter and the dad go out to talk, and the mom tucks in the little boy,
and then for no reason
full mouth kisses him for uncomfortably long,
5 seconds, just kisses him on why? The lips. I don't know. It... Oh, unless this is when the demon. I don't know, dude. I'm making this shit up.
I'm just making shit up now. It'll make. I don't know. So anyway, then the mom
goes to the doctor.
No, she remember she slaps the daughter first.
Oh, they're like arguing.
They're arguing outside, and then she slaps the daughter, and she's all like freaked out.
And the husband's like, "What the hell is like the matter?"
And then and now she's at the doctor because she's freaked out about what's going on. Like, why
about,
is all this stuff happening?
Because like the doctor is like again, he's like, "Yeah, I don't know. Like your baby's like really far along, even though it's only been like a month."
So now she's like,
fine.
She's like, I don't know. I just don't know about the pregnancy.
I want to get an abortion.
And then the doctor's like, that might be the best if it comes to that.
He's like, yeah, it's good as like a last resort if it's like your mental health or your physical health is in danger, which even though both of those are in danger, he's like, it last resort. But then she's like,
I knew it.
But for reasons... For one sentence, her voice changes.
No one ever... The doctor literally, I guess, doesn't notice or something because he doesn't react to it.
It changes like a man's voice, like, I knew you would say that. And then it's back to her.
It's like, whatever.
And she's like, you won't touch it.
Yeah, she's
you will not touch my baby.
She's all pissed off at the doctor that would even mention abortion, so I guess she was testing him.
Who the fuck knows,
dude?
And
then she, like, storms out of his thing, and then we get...
Walking!
And sex music. Remember? It's just like,
Who are you?
And it's like, who are you?
Tell me!
And, like, a flute thing starts coming in. She's just, like, window shopping.
She goes into a store, buys a doll.
She goes in, yeah.
And walks down, like, some steps and sees...
A banana peel.
Picks it up.
And starts eating it? Why? I don't...
None of this makes any fucking sense!
I don't know.
It's fine.
Don't worry, because it just gets weirder from here on out.
Trust me, it won't make sense.
And now we get one of the weirdest scenes. So...
This scene...
So the mom brings back the doll, and the little boy's playing with it. And he's talking to someone on a... He's talking to an invisible thing on the rocking chair, because the rocking chair is rocking back and forth.
Well, we see it rocking back and forth, and he's just talking to it.
And he's like, it's like a swing. You can, like, just swing on it. See? Go faster, go faster.
And then the girl walks in.
And she's like, who are you talking to? You're just an imaginary friend. And, like, the thing is,
the
rocking
chair
is still rocking.
It's still moving.
Insane.
And as she's talking, she starts, like, philosophizing about, like, imaginary friends. We see all of his toys, like, move.
Yes.
They're all moving.
So...
There's like a fucking bunny that like its ears flop. All the dolls, like their heads are moving
all
and their eyes.
All this while the little girl is philosophizing about imaginary friends and explaining how it's just a trick of the mind and all this stuff.
And the boy,
like, weird shit
is like cradling his doll and then he like twists its head like 180. I don't know, but it keeps going.
Everything is fucking moving, and the little girl is just still on about the fucking imaginary friends.
And then she goes, because the kid's like, I'm hungry, and she's like, I'll get you the good stuff. She goes to the kitchen. As she's in the kitchen, we see the dolls, like, walking? Remember?
Yeah, it starts walking towards the door, and, like, then she, like, gets a flan or something out
and
of
then
the
we
fridge.
See a fucking bunny toy fly at the camera!
She comes back in, and she's like, here you go, and she sets him on top of the... She sets the little boy on top of the counter, and then the plate just flies up and crashes into the ceiling.
And they're, like, scared, and then the room...
All the dolls' eyes start lighting up.
Like demon eyes.
Like demon eyes. There's like soulless demon light eyes.
Yeah.
And then the whole fucking room starts moving. And I'm not talking about like...
A little bit.
I'm not talking about like every like thing in the room. I'm talking about the room itself is on this like rig and it's fucking moving.
There's like lights beaming from the floorboards and the whole room... Every bit of furniture is just shaking and tumbling. And
the room is, like, rocking back and forth, and the kids are all freaked out. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
It keeps tumbling, and eventually, like,
the girl gets out, finally, and, like,
goes to the mom's room.
But I want to just... Why is the girl so calm when she goes out of the room? She's just in this, like, nightmare fuel, like... just insane situation, and she's just like, Mom, Mom.
But just wait, because when she goes to Mommy, what does Mommy do, Will?
Her head spins around.
Like 180.
Yep. Like completely around.
Like another movie.
This is where it gets blatantly obvious that this is trying to capitalize on Exorcists.
And then the husband comes home.
From here on out, you will notice a lot of references to the Exorcist.
It's blatant. It's shameless. The husband comes home and he's like looking around. He sees like the mom is with the kid and she's being weird.
He finds the doll on the ground too and its head is popped off.
Yeah.
And he's just like, the mom is like acting really strange.
She's cradling the son and she's being weird. And then like,
she explains something about like how she can't. She needs to sleep from time to time because the kids drive her...
Are too
like,
annoying.
Are too, like, stressful and too annoying, so she needs to take naps all the time. I don't know. And she, like, just slams the kid on the counter and everything and, like, just acts all fucking strange. So then the dad is like, okay, I'm fucking out, and he just leaves.
Well, no, don't forget, the daughter comes up to him.
Yes.
And we see, like, a single tear on her cheek, and she's like... Don't leave us with Mommy again.
Yes. And he leaves.
That's it.
And so he's just walking around San Francisco.
It's like daytime. And I don't fucking know. And he's walking around being followed by Dimitri.
Yep.
We get a scene of Dimitri in an elevator repeated 3 times for no reason. And then eventually he's at a park. And we get footage of a moving van. And it's driving.
You're like, I bet it's going to hit Dimitri. You called it. You're like, I bet it's going to try and hit him.
The dad, yeah. And
then the dad, not
And
Dimitri.
Then almost hits him, and Dimitri grabs him and saves him. And then he's like...
So Dimitri wants to help. He's like, I can help. I know that your wife is going through a lot.
But make sure nothing happens to the baby... And I have to be there because she wants me.
The baby has to be born, and I have to help.
She's like, how does she know you? She knew me from the past, and you have to trust me. Bye.
Yeah, and then it's just nighttime, and the doctor's wife...
Don't forget, the dad's, like, fine with it.
And the doctor's wife is all of a sudden sitting next to Jessica, the main woman in this film, the possessed one.
Oh my God.
So she's sitting next to the lady, and she's like, Jessica, you need to get up, you need to eat. And like one of her eyes opens
and starts twitching
and starts like moving back and forth.
And then we get the sex noises, the male sex noises.
And then boosh, boosh,
boosh, and then the husband just taps her shoulder. And it's gone. And then she's just like, oh, she's been like sleeping all day and she's been acting really strange and I'm really worried. Let me get you some food.
Well, and the doctor's like, okay, I'm going to watch her.
And then,
watches her. Oh my God.
And then we get the fucking most weird shit. The kids are being packed up. The boy is crying. He's crying as the doctor's wife.
There is no context to this
Nothing.
Scene.
Nothing. The whatsoever. Doctor's wife is packing a little bag with cans of Campbell's soup, and the kid's just crying.
And the daughter is like stuffing her suitcase with all these like love story novels.
With the fucking 50 books, and she's
trying to zip up her like.
There's so many books, she can't even zip up her fucking bag. And they're all the same book. And it's doing this, like, happy music.
I know, and then they leave. And then then we get, like, an Exorcist scene.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, my God. The kids leave.
It's over. Like, the kids are gone,
the doctor is in the room with Jessica, and she, like, fucking, like, flies up in a corner and starts speaking in the man's voice. And
then, wait, no, when does the fucking...
Remember she vomits and throws it at him?
And no, like... this is the scene where she starts talking about Dimitri. Or someone... No, fuck starts talking about Dimitri?
No, so you forgot, before the kids leave, the doctor's in the room, and the woman, Jessica, gets up and, like, starts, like... saying something about the doctor and how, like, you know, whatever. And then she, like, vomits up and then, like, takes it and throws it at the doctor. And she's like, lick my vomit. And then, and then that scene ends and the kids leave. And then now we get the explanation on Dimitri.
Okay.
So you forgot the doctor thing, but that's fine.
Here's what happens. The bitch starts fucking talking about who Dimitri is and how, like, he was very basic looking. But he had a lovely personality. Like, okay, dude, like, that's an interesting way of saying he's ugly, but whatever. And then we just get monologue as Dimitri is walking around San Francisco.
And, like, she's explaining how he was, like, alluring and attracting when, like, she was, like, magnetized to him and how they couldn't be apart and everything.
She couldn't resist him.
I understand this more now that we watched the movie, why she was, like, talking about him.
Past tense?
In the past tense, yeah.
Yeah.
So now it makes more sense.
It's fine.
Anyway, so... It's fine. She's explaining all this stuff about how great Dimitri was and all this stuff.
Dick was so bomb.
And then the husband is getting a cup of coffee, and Dimitri just fucking pops into their fucking apartment.
He pops in, and he's like, you have to leave me alone.
You have to leave me alone with her. I will help her.
I will take care of it. And the husband's just like, fine.
He's like, okay.
He leaves. Literally. Door close. Madness. Madness.
Door closes, and Dimitri immediately starts getting fucking...
Dimitri starts, like, humping the wall, and the wall starts banging.
It is banging all over, and then...
And then the fucking demon voice is in the other room, like, yelling at him.
Dimitri, you only have a few moments left. You can have this baby, and then it will, like, buy you more time. He's
like, stop. And then just, he keeps, like, slamming the door, and...
But don't worry, the madness doesn't stop there, because after that scene...
Because the fucking dad is walking down the street, and there's like a fucking street band.
There's a guitar guy, and he starts playing a song, and it's the actual song
that we hear
that's playing in the background. And he's like playing the thing, and then they shows him like three times. And then the husband,
with a dog.
And then the husband walks past this street band
three times.
It shows the shot three times at three different
angles. One of them is playing a flute with their nose.
And
he's
like,
fine.
And they start like taunting him and like walking behind him while they're playing the song that's playing in the fucking...
But there's a lyrics! And the lyrics are like, no one can help you now. No one can help you.
And then it's like, but someone can help you.
Look for him in the dark. But no one can help you. But they can. But they can't. But
how can they help you? He's in the dark. But can he help you? Can he really help you?
As this fucking guy plays a flute with his nose.
And the guy is like drumming. And then another guy comes in and
with a trumpet
behind him. And it just
it keeps going. And then he just, like, goes to his car, which apparently he parked his car, like, 50 fucking blocks away from the house.
I love it because, like, he literally gets to his car and the band is nowhere to be found.
But the doctor is.
Yes, the doctor's right next to his car.
He's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, well, you know that weird guy I told you about earlier? Yeah, he's in the house. The doctor's like, what the fuck is wrong? It's fine.
He's like, we need to get her to a hospital. What are you talking about?
He's like, no, we're not taking care of. It's taken care of. It's fine.
He's just like, I don't care. I want Dimitri to deal with her shit. I'm done with her.
It's fine. Next scene, they're in the fucking apartment with Dimitri. Like, the husband's there with Dimitri.
And he's having doubts because he's not sure how he can save his wife.
And he's drinking a highball.
And he's like, he looks in the highball, and what is in the highball?
An eyeball, bro!
Eyeball in the highball.
And he chucks it, and we get a fucking zoomy shot. Where it's like an eyeball, like, flying across the room.
Because the camera spins like an eyeball would to the ground.
And then the eyeball disappears.
Yep. And now we get, for some reason, the doctor is like, fine, I'll prove it to you. And he's hooking up a
science... Well, it's Dimitri talking like, if you get the doctor here, I'll bet he'll do some tests on her to prove it. And then
the doctor
is there.
Hooks up a fucking science machine to her.
And it's like... reading her brain waves, and it's just a line.
And it's just like, well, she, this is impossible. She's basically brain dead.
There's right no now. Brain activity. And she might as well be dead.
And the husband's like, no way. She's clearly still alive. I know she's in there somewhere. And, oh my god.
Is this where we get the fucking scene with...
This is
the
where...
best scene. The greatest scene ever filmed. Where the husband hears her.
So, now... Remember, because she assesses the machine and the doctor, I guess, leaves. And then...
Don't forget, she's in a straitjacket.
Yeah, so the doctor leaves and then she, like, starts, like, kind of, like, puking up more goo.
Yeah.
Green goo. And then, like, she's talking all this bullshit, like, possession bullshit. And they all leave. So then Dimitri's back.
Yeah.
And he's like, I told you they'd hook up the machine to her and blah, blah, blah.
But trust me, it's fine.
I'm the only one that can help her. And then Robert goes back into the room. Robert's the husband.
Yeah.
He goes back into the room and she's like, Robert,
Don't forget, in the meantime, as she goes back to the room, Dimitri's like smirking as he's walking in.
So Robert goes into the room and the wife is like, Robert, these restrictions, they hurt. I have pains in my joints.
Like, I miss, where's my kids? Where's the kids? I miss you.
And he's like, those kids are gone.
Don't think of them.
I had to protect them.
And then she's like, let me, like, I feel so tight. Like, I want to hold you. He's like, no, it's don't, like, it's too dangerous. You'll hurt yourself. He's like,
please, Robert.
And of course.
And then he takes the restraints off and then hugs her. And then she, like, grabs his hair.
And throws him.
And yeets him across the room.
And then she, like, oh my God. She, like, sits up and starts with her fucking force powers.
Starts throwing him. Throwing him. Robert gets fucking wrecked.
She throws him all over the goddamn room.
And he's all fucking freaked out, and then she just fucking yeets him out of the room.
Well, don't forget, before she yeets him out of the room, she, like, morphs into three, like, demon-possessed women.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then just the last shot is the best. Because it's just the door opens, Robert is thrown out, and then you hear the laughing, and then the door closes, and it's just dead silence. And then Dimitri's just like, I knew it.
Oh my God.
It's bad.
Oh my God. This is the fucking worst. So now Dimitri explains something and we get a supercut of the Dimitri explaining something. And then superimposed on that image is the doctor looking for
something.
It never explained what the doctor was actually looking for. I think he was looking for clues about Dimitri.
But here's the thing. Eventually, Dimitri's weirdo monologue ends, and the doctor's at some weird boat house that looks like a fucking, like, bad guy lair. And there's this woman there, and she's, like, talking, like, yeah, like, you know, he was weird, and he'd said that he would, like, heal people somehow, and he had, like, he claimed he had powers and all this stuff.
And then, like... She's like, yeah, and then that woman came, and he was just infatuated with her.
And he said he claimed he bewitched her, but I think it might have been the other way around.
And then the doctor's like, well, like, where is he now? And she's like, well, what do you mean? Dimitri's dead.
He's like, what? Well, someone says they saw him. She's like, yeah, his car fell off a cliff. They never found the body.
There you go.
But my favorite part... Dimitri's dead. My favorite... No. My favorite fucking part of this scene is she tells him this, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's crazy. Like, oh, he fell off a cliff and they found his body. And then it starts, like, the camera starts zooming out as she starts monologuing about, like, how you don't believe in the supernatural. You don't believe in spirits. You don't believe in anything, I'm telling you. And it just zooms out and she's talking to... Nobody!
The doctor's just fucking gone.
Like, as soon as she said the bitch is dead, just left, and she just started talking to herself.
He's just like, nope. I don't fucking care about this shit.
Oh my God.
So, the doctor starts driving back to the apartment. And then, so now the devil is talking in a chair?
No, it's in the fucking room.
Yeah, but she's, like, hunched up in a chair.
Yeah.
Talking to Dimitri, because Dimitri finally goes in to finish the job, because I think the husband leaves or something. Because
it's time for the birth.
It's time for fucking the birth.
And it's just talking, like, and then eventually, like, the body floats up and, like, spreads its legs to him.
And she...
You have to do it.
She's like, you have to plunge your hands into me.
Plunge it in.
You have to pull out the baby.
Rip out the baby.
And then I will give you more time.
And then it just, like, sits down.
And then it, like, pukes all over Dimitri. remember she fucking vomits all over Dimitri.
And starts laughing.
And then she like floats back down and starts like writhing in bed. And Dimitri's like, no, you said you would. And the devil's like, you don't know pain and suffering like me.
You thought I'd fucking give you time.
And then Dimitri, I guess just because, starts just fucking wailing on her stomach.
On the pregnant belly.
On the pregnant belly, just fucking beating the shit out of it.
And it's like, you're done. Like, I fucking got you.
I got you. You're dead, Dimitri. I was never gonna give you time.
I did this. This is a direct quote. I did this for my own amusement.
So, basically, the demon, or the devil, is just punking Dimitri.
There was no time. Because here's what happens. It just keeps telling them, so then we cut back to the fucking car plunging into the water from the cliff.
Yep, and then the doctor finally gets to the apartment, and he goes in, and the wife is just laying...
She's fine.
She's normal. And then we see something laying on the ground, covered in Dimitri's overcoat.
Yeah.
And he uncovers it. You don't see what it is, but it's clearly a stillborn baby.
Yeah.
And, like, he's all shocked.
He's like, oh, no.
And then it cuts to the family on a ferry.
Oh,
and the
God.
Girl is still reading her fucking love books.
Oh, my God.
And she like, looks up, and a bunch of kids are running down the stairs, and she winks at one of them, and they wink back. It's really awkward. It's really fucking awkward.
I want to say that my stomach was hurting from laughter during this fucking scene.
And then, like, so, like, the husband and wife embrace and kiss. And then the little kid, so we should have explained at the beginning, the mom, while she was grocery shopping, got the kid a present.
Already wrapped.
Already wrapped, and so the kid is finally unwrapping the present after like an hour and 40 minutes. Of the movie. He's finally unwrapping the present, and he unwraps it, and it's a box. And he takes, what does he take out of the box, Alex?
He unwraps a red car.
That looks exactly like Dimitri's car.
It's the same red car, and then he takes it, and then we, of course... see a cut of the fucking Dimitri's car plunging into the water, and then what do we get?
And the kid fucking throws the car into the ocean.
As it cuts back to the car falling in the ocean, and then he turns around.
And has green eyes. End movie.
So this is the dumbest shit I have ever seen.
Let me just tell you this. Basically, this whole movie is meaningless because
it's pointless.
What happened is the demon was just fucking with Dimitri the entire fucking time.
The whole movie is a troll.
It's a giant demon troll. Like, he was just fucking with Dimitri, saying he could give him more time, and then at the end he's like, nah, I was never gonna give you more time. And in movie, you could have explained this in, like, a fucking episode of a show.
But it's implied that for reasons that I can't understand... The son is possessed?
Well, because, like, I guess what happened is because remember, at some point, Dimitri does explain that once the demon is done with the vessel, it just leaves the vessel. Even though in all other iterations, the demon kills the vessel. But in this one, it just fucking leaves the vessel. But it's implying that once the demon was done fucking with Dimitri with the wife, it just possessed the kid to fuck with other people, I guess? But anyway, so, like, this would be, like, if in The Exorcist, we get the final confrontation, right?
This is the best example.
The priest finally exorcises the demon out of Reagan and takes it into himself and fucking throws himself out of the window and kills himself. Sorry, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it. It's from the fucking 70s. You should see it by now.
If you haven't seen The Exorcist and you listen to a horror and action podcast, you should fucking watch it.
What the fuck are you doing here? Go watch The Exorcist. But anyway, so he throws himself out and kills himself, right?
Yep.
Now this if this was directed by these two brainlets, this is what would
happen. Two people directed this.
This is what would happen. You realize that the priest has been dead this whole time.
Yeah, the whole movie.
And he's just reliving this exorcism. And so Reagan gets up, still possessed by the demon, and looks out the window at the the possessed priest. and holds up a voodoo doll of the priest
and throws it in the trash.
Fucking yeets it out the window in the trash,
and then turns around and no, and then it's not Reagan that's possessed.
Oh wait,
it's the mob or something.
Yeah, so like Reagan throws it out the window, and like then the mom turns around and is possessed
and says, "Your mother sucks cocks in hell." End movie.
So it'd be like, it basically being meaning the whole fucking Exorcist is pointless because this guy's been dead the whole time.
He's been dead the whole time, and it memes.
Just, it's like Sixth Sense, but stupid.
Dude.
This movie.
My brain is like, is struggling to comprehend. I don't know. Like, here's the thing. I know there's fans of this movie, and in an insane way, I understand.
It's insane, but it's pretty entertaining just to like kind of laugh.
I've heard like people describe certain movies or TV shows as having like dream logic.
Yeah,
this is like that, where it's like
dream law. It's like dream. It's just
in the moment it might make sense, but boy, once you wake up and think about it, it's like, oh, that's nonsense.
Well, once you wake up and think about it, what is the point of the movie? It's just a giant, it's a demon fucking with a guy.
Yeah.
That is literally the plot of the entire movie, is just a demon fucking with, he just fucking Ashton Kutcher's like, you got punked, and then like the end movie.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's
no like substance to it, because if you think about it, like there's no like moral ramifications, right?
Oh, moral, bro.
Because Dimitri didn't even do anything. We have no idea what Dimitri did to fuck with, like to piss off this demon, or like to do anything. Like,
yeah, no, there's nothing
just
like
dude. Like he's a dude that did things.
We don't know. There's no backstory.
And so it doesn't, anything. It doesn't give Dimitri any weight at the end, right? It doesn't give him any like development why we should fucking care that this demon was fucking with him the whole time, because he just shows up at random points in the movie and is just like, I'm here to help, and then he helps, and then you realize he's trying to give birth to the Antichrist and trying to make himself the baby, so he's just a desperate man trying to live a little longer, and the demon's like, nah, fuck you, that's it,
you get nothing.
So it's just like there's no weight to the movie.
No.
It's just kind of like a throwaway.
It's a movie.
I mean, it's not like the worst movie we've watched, and like
no.
It was entertaining, I will admit. Like, I had kind of fun watching it because it's so fucking weird.
I had fun watching it. My nitpick though is like I could have done with less scenes of people walking around set to like nonsense.
I just want an explanation on what the fuck this scene was where the husband's walking around and getting tortured by street musicians. I don't get that one.
You know, I will say, though, also, there's a lot of scenes in this where, like, a person will be saying something, and then they, like, have, like, a splice in of, like, something happening in the back.
They do it.
And it's like, I get it.
I guess it's to save time.
Well, but I get it. You know, we gotta get our movie under 2 hours.
Yeah.
I got it.
Well, let's splice two fucking scenes together.
We already have like 50 scenes of people just walking around. Let's just splice a couple of them in under like a monologue.
So I don't know. Like I think this movie could do if they explained Dimitri's story more. Like give him some like character development instead of just this prick who's trying to give birth to the Antichrist and then fails and dies anyway. There's like just explain shit. I don't know.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. This movie's doomed from the beginning. Like
it's true.
From the moment to whoever the fuck came up with this, it's doomed.
Their big pitch was it's narrated by the devil.
It's an Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby ripoff where it starts as Rosemary's Baby, ends as the Exorcist, narrated by the devil, but it's all a troll.
Yeah.
And
it's just pointless.
Like, it's doomed from the beginning, but it's entertaining.
It is entertaining. It's fun to watch, especially if you have like a group of people. Just make fun of it.
You have to watch this as a joke.
You have to. You can't take this movie seriously.
Yeah, if you try to take this seriously, Godspeed.
And if you do want a serious exorcism movie, just go watch The Exorcist. Like, seriously. Or go watch Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist. And I guarantee you, you'll get
way more out of them. Watch both.
Because if you want context, go watch both and then compare how similar they this movie is to those fucking two movies.
To those two?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's almost exactly the same. Certain scenes are like shot for shot, sometimes shot for shot what the fucking scene is. They even have like the wife's room lit in blue like they do in
during the final scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't fucking have like the breath where it's all cold.
All cold?
Yeah.
I mean, there is no exorcism.
Well, and she doesn't say your mother sucks cocks in hell.
No, but she does swear earlier. Yeah,
she does, but she doesn't say, like, fuck me. You know, like, that.
No, she just says, plunge your hand into me.
And then vomits all over him.
As a joke.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It's a huge joke.
That was funny. I'm not gonna lie, that was fucking funny.
It was fucking great. But, yeah, so it's just, it's entertaining, but there's nothing here.
What would you...
How do you rate this movie? Like, I don't know, like, entertainment value, I want to give it a high. I mean,
at the end of the day...
It's not...
I think, like, Shitty to Pretty is... At the end of the day, it's about entertainment. I think it has to be about entertainment. I'm gonna say a 6... I'm just going to say a 6. Part of me wants to give it a 5, just a nice like straight shot down the middle, but I think it's entertaining enough to where I can give it a 6.
You know what? I'm actually going to go one step higher just because that scene with the kids.
The scene with the kids.
It was surprisingly well done. I'm really if there was more scenes like that, I would have been so into this movie.
Now, the whole scene with the kids, even though it makes literally no lick of sense,
and there's no like there's no
context or anything,
there's no like, and there's no consequences to it, right?
No,
because the kids just leave the second later.
Yeah,
but like I would say a 7 just because like the scenes in which weird shit happens are very frequent in this movie.
Yeah,
and like they were so fucking weird that it made it like oddly like entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because, like, the weird thing where he's getting chased by street musicians for literally no reason.
Where she's fucking tossing him around the room.
Yeah, where, like, the kids scene, that we had the fucking, like, there's so much weird shit in this movie that it kind of made it more entertaining for me.
No, it's entertaining.
Now, as, an actually good movie standpoint, no. It would get a much lower rating.
No, but this is a terrible movie.
But entertainment value, 7.
I get it. I agree.
Just because I did enjoy the set pieces, I enjoyed the when the horror shit was happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was so weird, but it was like they didn't give a fuck like how strange they were being, which is like kind of refreshing.
They didn't give a fuck at all, no. Dude.
And for the girls dubbing, like that was just like fucking swearing man. Like a sailor and. Smacking her kid brother around, fucking like just doing random shit. It was entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I mean, look, it's on Prime. One of you fucking recommended this to us, so watch it.
I don't know. Like I had fun. I had fun watching this movie because it was so ridiculous.
It's worth a watch. I mean, especially if you like Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist. Just watch it just because of how fucking shameless it is.
You can laugh at how similar some of the scenes are.
Yeah.
Like, it's just blatantly right in front of your face.
Yeah, no, it's... Boy, when she starts puking.
Yep. Or when her head turns around. Or how, like, you can't really trust anyone, like in Rosemary's Baby. Even though you know exactly what's going on.
Even though it's fine.
Whatever. But, yeah, so that was Beyond the Door. Thank you for whoever recommended this, because I didn't even know this movie existed, and I'm glad it did. I know you did, but you said that we weren't going to watch it because it wasn't on any streaming.
At the time when we were doing 74, number one, it wasn't on any streaming. Number two, I mean, I just didn't give a shit. I'll be quite fucking blunt. I just didn't fucking care. I was just like, everything's just like, oh, it's an Exorcist ripoff. I was like, okay, it's not on streaming. Like, there's nowhere to see it. I just don't care enough.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get a hold of it. But,
you know what?
Someone recommended this to us. We finished a year, and boy, oh boy, I check on Amazon Prime, and what do I see?
Beyond the Door.
Beyond the Door. So now, thank you.
I'll be honest, I'm glad we watched this movie, but I am so ready for 1978.
I am too.
Like, we're getting so close to my favorite decade for movies.
My favorite time, like, yeah.
We are inching ever closer to the holy grail that is the 80s.
So, oh, shit, I love.
And I can't wait, because it's going to be shitty, but man, we are going to get some good shit, too. And I'm excited for 78. I think, like, we've been consistently getting,
like, more entertaining.
More entertaining movies. Even if they're bad, they're still, like, really entertaining. And we've been getting some mm-hmm. really, like, weird ideas, but somehow they make it work.
They still work, yeah.
And so I'm excited for those movies. I'm not excited for the really shitty ones, but I'm excited to see what the fuck the next year holds.
I'm definitely excited to... No, I'm stoked for 78.
I am too. And I'm really excited for the next, like, 3 years leading up to, like, the next... 2 years leading up to 80s.
It's gonna be fun.
So, it'll be exciting.
And we're back to, like, a more normal schedule.
Now that, like, the holidays are over, it's not as crazy. We'll probably be back to a normal schedule. I say probably because I can't make any promises. Shit does happen.
I'd say it's more than likely. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. Until one of us goes on vacation or something like that. But, you know, we'll be here.
We'll be here.
Yeah, and more live streams on the way. Don't worry. We weren't able to do a holiday one, but because I wanted to, but we just didn't find the time. And then, we just have a lot more stuff coming for you, and I'm excited for the new year, to be honest. Mm-hmm. 2020 is going to start. It's going to be great. I'm excited for all the things that we can do with this podcast, and I'm excited to get new listeners, you know, and more people recommending stuff, and maybe if we can get enough people that are interested in sending us shit, we'll watch it and review it for you. If you like our reviews and you want to send us stuff, we'll set something up. Just let us know.
Yeah. If you're interested, let us know. We'll do it.
Yeah. I know. I'm excited. 2020, and I'm excited for 78. So
I'm stoked.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, boy.
All right. So for They Mostly Come In At Night, this has been Will.
This has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all next year.
Next year.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Susan.